And welcome to another edition of Night Court. We were just talking before the show. I mean, literally, like seconds ago. As I was doing a countdown to start the show, Brevin said, I'm on Threads now.
And this is when we start giving all the handles. I have one. I got a Threads one, too.
Yeah?
And I guess you're supposed to tell all your Twitter people that you have a Threads one.
Yeah. You got to tell the Twitter people, say I'm on Threads.
Is that all you do? Is just say.
All right, it's not Twitter anymore. It's X.
Not because I got dumb X on my phone.
Turned into X today. Or yesterday.
Like, yeah. I almost was like, well, what is this shit? I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for nothing.
I don't know what's going on, but I was told, because last week I was at SEC Media Days, and and I was on the Chris Vernon show. And when they came to me, I was on my phone, and he said, he's got some big stuff going on. I said, I'm sorry, I was just sending out a thread. And Chris said, you're still on Threads? And he and Devin made fun of me for even mentioning the fact that I was on Threads. They say it's done. It's over. It's done. It's not going to happen. I say, I don't know.
You're like,
I don't like it, though.
That's how... Nina's always like, I gotta move over. That's where people are going. They're going over the Threads. Everybody's leaving from, I guess, what is it called? Is it even Twitter anymore?
I don't know. I think it's just X. X.
gotta
send out some X's.
I gotta send out some X's.
I can't believe, I was just on vacation. And I was telling, I go with my family every year. And my sisters and their kids and my mom and my wife and my kids. And
are they your kids or y'all kids?
Both of our kids, yeah. Our kids, our children. And my niece, I was telling her about the Threads and how I said, I can't believe sometimes that this is actually a big part of my life when I'm walking into an arena at night as a 50-year-old man thinking about what I'm going to put on the X, and then how I have to send it on Threads, and then I got to put it on IG, and then I got to put it on the Facebook, and I'm like, well, I'm spending so much time doing this that it's absurd.
That's why I don't do it, because it consumes too much. I got better things to do with my time than to tell you what I'm doing with my time.
It's about the brand. You know, I'm a brand guy. I'm an influencer, Brevin.
I'm off brand.
Yeah.
Why it wouldn't work for me? Because you would expect me to like keep doing it all the time. I'm not gonna keep doing it. So I'm happy that I did well when I played basketball. I'm very grateful to be working with UMP.
Can people find you on Threads? Or are you do you have a hidden one?
No, I have a real one, like with my name and everything.
Oh, okay. So like at Brevin Knight?
Nope.
No, BK22?
Nope.
Brevin Knight 22?
Go Cardinal 22.
Go Cardinal 22.
I guess because that's my Instagram thing. You know, I didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't even know my own Instagram name. I didn't even know.
I'm going to start tagging you.
Where to find it, where to look for it.
I'll tag you.
No expectations.
At Cardinal 22. That is how you can find Brevin on IG and on the Threads. Fantastic. Following you right after the show. This is Night Court, by the way. Thank you for joining us. And he's Brevin Knight. I'm Rob Fisher. And we got some basketball to talk about because there's some interesting things going on. Jaylen Brown, 5 years, $304 million. The most overpaid player in the NBA since Mike Conley. Because he's got the same situation.
He happened to be the first person to be eligible to sign that type of deal with his team, and any of the other 29 teams, if they said that you could have Jaylen Brown, they would say they would take Jaylen Brown in a heartbeat.
What are you going to do if you're Boston? I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Exactly what they did, but now...
I mean, unless you think, well, we can't win with them. But if you couldn't win with them, you should have traded them.
100%. You're not going to just let them leave. So they were...
Yeah.
They were in a position... And again... The money has to get spent somehow, some way. Like this is just what this is. What you just don't want to happen is kind of what Austin Rivers was talking about, and you don't want there to just be the haves and have-nots in the NBA.
Yeah.
You still want there to be a viable middle class to it all, which I'm not saying that there isn't. There is or isn't, because I haven't done the research on it. But you still want there to be a nice trickle-down of the money.
Yeah, Austin Rivers calling the league top-heavy. Either you make $50 million or you make $2 million. Now, I know there'd be some people listening going, still $2 million to play basketball. Yeah, okay, but let's look at the market.
Right, exactly.
You know,
it's all relative.
So is that a problem, though? I mean, being too tough, because it feels like it's been fine for football.
Football has been that way. I think football is a little bit different because you have so many players.
Yeah.
And basketball, you don't have that many players, so it can be dispersed a little bit differently. I'm not trying to take any money out of anybody's pocket. The teams are going to do whatever they want. And again, I haven't done the research to say, right, is what he was saying or implying, is that even true?
Right.
I don't know. Like, we still see the guys that are making 8 to 10 million. So we still see those guys. I think his point more so was the veteran guys. And this has been, it really doesn't kick into you until you become a vet.
Right.
The issue that he has in terms of teams shying away for vets or only paying vets vet minimums and not giving them anything long-term or substantial, that's been an issue in the NBA forever.
Yeah.
Guys before me were
saying
that.
I've heard that a lot.
When I've got to become more of a vet, it was something that I would say. So I just think when you become that position, then it just kind of hits you in the face a little bit of where you are.
All right. Are you awaiting the James Harden news with, anticipation
and
not really? Nothing?
Well, just because I
forgot about it.
I thought he said he was going back to Philly. And then all of a sudden I was watching NBA Today, and we were back on this. Look, maybe the Clippers. He's going to the Clippers. I guess they've slowed down on the Houston thing,
yeah,
somewhat. And now the Clippers is the big thing. And to me, if I'm the Clippers, if you got to start giving away a lot of your young talent in order to acquire them, then I'm a second guess what we're doing. You already got two guys of age on your team. You add a third guy of age. Who's going to carry the mantle when those guys are gone? Like, you still need some type of transition period for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to go somewhere else. Now you add another guy to that mix that you had to take away guys to be able to get. So it all depends on what that package looks like, but I don't know if that really moves the needle to put the Clippers in any better position than they're already in right now.
Yeah. Will he be dealt, if you had to guess today?
No, because they act like the biggest river was Doc Rivers. That was the biggest reason for what happened. And
right,
he's getting a coach right now, and Nick Nurse, who is as creative of an offensive mind, will junk up the defensive side to help him, won't be. So to me, it seems like it's a nice fit. It seemed like they started to find a little bit of synergy between he and Embiid towards the end of the year. He still has to and felt like he started to be comfortable in the point guard role. It's just, you hear this dog that's out here in the neighborhood that can't understand. It literally walks around and barks at nothing. Just on the walk with the owner, and it just barks. Which for the life of me, I have no idea.
How much are you anticipating the Lillard news?
This one's a little bit more intriguing because it is. Eventually, you start to say, Portland, you want to do the best you can for Damian Lillard, but you got an organization to run, and you can't just cut yourself off and have no bargaining chip if you don't talk to any other team.
Yeah.
If they only talk to Miami, then Miami's going to give them the bare minimum because there's nobody else that you're competing with. So it's going to be interesting to see how long Portland sticks with this. We want to be loyal to you to give you the best situation for you. Eventually, that runs out.
And it's interesting that the NBA sent all 30 teams a memo.
literally just walking in the dark. Like, it's dark outside, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing this in the dusk of the night. The dog can be barking at nothing.
Let me try and get through this again. All 30 teams were sent a memo.
Yes.
Regarding Lillard. Yes. And his agent, Aaron Goodwin. The memo points to public comments made by Goodwin indicating that Lillard would not fully perform the services called for under his player contract if traded to a team other than the Heat. That's crazy. That's his agent saying that to other teams. The league went on to clarify that Goodwin and Lillard both have affirmed them that Lillard will play hard, no matter where he's playing. That's good. But the league is on notice here, and could something turn on that? I don't know. I asked the question, will Lillard be dealt? And I really feel like it's going to be like Anthony Davis in New Orleans. It's going to be like sad to watch. And it's just going to come to a slow death at the trade deadline.
Well, to me, you got to do something because you got the Scoot Henderson kid. You don't want to continue to stymie the growth for Anthony Simons. I just think when they made that selection, I thought that pretty much was the ink saying that they were moving in a different direction. Yeah. Let Damian Lillard go off and be his way. But then they re-signed Grant. And so then you start to think, well, maybe they're still thinking, but maybe still going the way of here's a young wing, different position, still a veteran guy that can play with these young guys. And so and Shaedon Sharpe is still there. They have a stable of young guys that they can move forward with. And can they win right now? Can they win in the next 2 years, which Damian Lillard's window starts to shrink and shrink, and his number towards the end of his career gets higher and higher?
Right. Does he take Miami? It's stupid to ask that question because Miami, your answer would be they just played in the championship. They were an 8 seed. Let's remember.
He gives them a realistic chance of being able to get back to that point.
Okay.
And not having to do it in underdog fashion.
Right.
I think is what he would give them as a player with that team. Because remember, a lot of it was predicated on Kyle Lowry having to do a lot on one leg.
Yeah.
You know, Hero was gone, and if the trade does happen, the Hero won't be there anyway. What other young guy, who else goes with draft picks goes, but I would say that Portland, there's no way Portland would do the deal and Hero not be a part of it.
Yeah, somehow. Maybe even a third team
exactly.
or something.
Right.
Ben Simmons is 100% healthy. Your thoughts?
You remember, I was a Ben Simmons fan.
Yeah.
You know, I was a proponent of him because I still feel like he has a skill that is different than a lot of people that play in the league. His size, his versatility, his athleticism, playmaking. You just need the confidence. Like, and when your confidence gets shook at the professional level, then you look mediocre. And so hopefully because he is healthy, then that gives him the confidence that he can go out and do all of the things that got him to this point. But he's going to have to find himself and find a level of confidence with him. And the Brooklyn Nets are going to have to be extremely supportive of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if those two things can marry yourself, then you can see another productive Ben Simmons. He's not a bum. He's not a guy that can't play. And it's not that he doesn't have a skill. He just has to be able to do it on a nightly basis. And I think it just...
Isn't the confidence. Question mental, too, mentally? Because it felt like the end there, man. A lot of that was mental.
That's what I said. That's where the confidence comes in.
Like, yeah.
If you're confident in what you're doing, then mentally you fight through all of those things. If I'm not confident in what's going on the floor, not confident with my situation, then now all of that festers and it becomes just an add-on to the stressors that you already have. So that's why I say the confidence side. You know, you and I talk about this mental thing. I don't get into what degree where you are with the mental side, because that is something totally different. But just in terms of the basketball and having that energy fire to want to do it, I think you just have to see that a little bit more. And also a defining of his role. Like, so I said it when Jacque Vaughn had it, and they kind of, they was like, they just say what you expect from him. Like, ease the pressure of, we don't expect him to score 20 a night. We expect him to give us 14 because he can give us so many different ways. Give us 8 rebounds, 6 or 7 assists, defend these different people, initiate the offense. Like, all of those things that impact the game. If they can do that, then I think that just alleviates what everybody is saying, what he should be able to do.
Yeah. Television news, Breen, Doc, Doris, the new top crew.
I'll miss Jeff Van Gundy.
Oh, yeah?
I thought it was just a, he was a cool mix. Like, he was kind of edgy. He knew basketball. He was different. I thought the dynamic, to me, chemistry and dynamic, how things work, what I've learned in this business is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say, like, Doris is, Doris is fantastic at doing the job. This is less of
who's coming. I think Doc will be great, too.
Oh, yeah. Less of who's coming in to do it, more than, like, what we've gotten accustomed to. It's almost like if you say Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq, and then all of a sudden you say Ernie, Kenny, Charles, Shaq is a part of it now. But if you all of a sudden say Ernie, somebody else, Ernie, Dwayne Wade, Charles, and Shaq. It's like, Dwayne Wade, he might not be bad, but it's just something about the way that Kenny, how they all interact with one another. And so it'll just take some getting used to. Happy for Doris that she moves into that role. She's going to be fantastic. But like I said, I liked Jeff Van Gundy.
I think I'll like this crew, and I think they'll be fine. I think Mike Breen is just, you know, he's so good that he could work with anybody. Yep. and sound like he's been their partner forever. And Doris, I feel the same way. I don't think she's ever worked with anyone that I've thought, boy, that chemistry just didn't work. So I think it'll be fine. And I think Doc Rivers has a personality to, you know, fit the role that he could have. And he's obviously knows the game of basketball, and hell, he's coached a lot of the guys that played.
Hold on. You said Doc Rivers?
Yeah.
Mark Jackson was out too?
Yeah, Mark Jackson's out too.
Oh, I thought you said Mark. I didn't even know you said
Doc. No, Doc Rivers.
Oh, this is gonna be something brand new.
So yeah, it's completely brand new. It's Breen, Doris, and Doc Rivers. Jeff and Mark gone. And Mark, they, you know, they were going to B-team him. And he said, I can't handle the truth.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah.
It's a whole new deal.
It'll be interesting. I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
All right. I think it'll be good. I look forward to it. I think it'll be great. This is one of my favorite things this week. Bleacher Report has come out with the most overrated players in the NBA. Five most overrated players in the NBA. Number five, DeMar DeRozan.
I wonder what their metrics
are. I'm trying to think of why. I mean, I didn't read it. I didn't read the article. I just saw the list and was like, oh, that's good enough to talk about. I mean, because I just try to think I guess you could use the argument of they haven't won anything. But I'm not one to use that argument for an individual.
Well, so they haven't won in Chicago.
Yeah.
But Toronto?
Yeah.
Weren't they kind of successful in Toronto? San Antonio, they were successful maybe not.
Yeah. I don't know. His points matter, don't they?
I mean, I guess I'm a fan, but you start to say he made some big shots. But I guess you could maybe put him on that list. But you can start putting a lot of names on that list if If you go down that road.
Yeah, number four is Kawhi Leonard.
Well, the Kawhi Leonard, I understand why. It's because of the amount of games that he plays.
His availability.
Yeah, that's just what it comes down to. It's not a denial of how good he is. It's just if you're only going to see him 60 to 65 times during the regular season and then just turn on, and then even get into the postseason, you still do load management in the postseason. So how could he not be?
Right. this gets interesting here. Number three, Jonas Valanciunas.
The problem for the problem comes in with JV is it's not a low post man's game anymore.
Yeah.
And you would have to be in some way dedicated to throwing the ball on the box. And if you're not going to be dedicated to it, then on the offensive end, they lose. Now, he has worked on his three-point shot. He has worked on mid-range pick-and-pop situation and gotten better, but still his worth is still somewhere getting to the basket. So and then on the defensive side, he's not very versatile. So I can see why, but if the game was a different game, his name wouldn't be on that list at all.
Yeah. Number two, Dylan Brooks.
You know, I'm too much of a fan for DB to agree with any of that. That's my guy.
Say, if your argument is what his contract is, okay. You say what you said earlier. You could say that about a lot of guys in the league.
A lot.
Especially with the way money is now. Yes. And I mean, Dylan's contract 3 years from now might be really good deal at 100%, that point.
Exactly.
But right now it looks like, seriously? He got that much money?
And I think a lot of it is just because of the heels of what just happened. Like, yes. You know, everybody is, what have you done for me lately? That's the mentality.
And Brevin, it all worked. It worked like a charm for Dylan Brooks. Look what it did for him.
It was his calling card. And the thing why it worked was because he wasn't playing a role. He was just being Dylan Brooks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when it doesn't work is when you're trying to fake something and be something else. But Dylan was always Dylan, and I think, like I said, his name is on there because of how last year ended, what happened with this team. And then the numbers, but I'm never, like I said, you're not gonna find a bigger fan of Dylan Brooks than myself. I will be that way to the end.
Yeah. And number one on the list, I thought this one was interesting too, especially considering they had the success they had last year. Domantas Sabonis.
Again, I'm going back to what were the metrics for what made you over? Directly and related to how much money you make and your production? Like, what? Because to me, Sacramento Kings were really good last year. And
I remember in the playoffs when he was good, they were good. When he wasn't good, they lost.
Right. So Domantas Sabonis was a really big part of that.
Yeah.
And so tell me why. Because one of my other favorite players who has yet to do it, Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so why wouldn't he be on this list of people that are overrated or whatever? But I don't know the criteria.
Right.
There's no knock on his game because, like I just said, one of my more favorite players, people to watch in the game, but so to put Sabonis there, I don't know how and why.
All right, Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol headline the 2023 Basketball Hall of Fame enshrinement on August the 12th. Look forward to it. I think Dirk is. I think he's funny. A funny guy. I think he'll have a really good speech. I think Powell will be. Powell will be really good. Powell will be a little emotional.
He'll be all polished and his suit will be perfect.
Yep.
Hair will be perfect. I think D-Wade's gonna.
And D-Wade will be smooth.
He's gonna have Allen Iverson, I think.
Oh yeah.
Do his introduction or whatever they do for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's awesome.
Know what's cool about these for me? These are people that now I've played against.
Yeah.
So that's when it starts to come up on for me when these Hall of Fames come out and guys are like, man, that was cool. I played against that guy.
Yeah.
I think I'll start to pay attention to these inductions a lot more moving forward than I did in the past.
And you have a link with Powell, obviously.
Oh, yeah. That's a long link. It's so crazy that. For us to be drafted together, to be here, then to be here around here with Mark's situation, and with Mark being here, and so to see Mark in high school because our kids were the same. I mean, it was just We have been in touch with one another, but from afar.
Right. Awesome. All right. Well, here's another list.
I got another list. Okay.
Yeah. This is according to Rob Peterson from The Athletic. NBA Hall of Fame locks of active players. NBA okay. Hall of Fame locks of active players. Okay. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Lock.
He's not really active, but he's retired. Carmelo Anthony.
Lock.
Steph Curry.
Lock.
Anthony Davis.
All right, so I want to go back to the Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, I thought you were going to go back to criteria.
That's exactly what I'm going back to. I mean, I guess you say Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony's one of the greatest scorers of all time.
Right, anyone in college. Anyone in the college championship.
Yeah, it's a basketball.
The world is a basketball. True. That's what people forget. That's the true. Basketball Hall of Fame. So Carmelo, that's why, and this is why I preface what I'm saying, because when I go to say why I'm going to say no to Anthony Davis, and you're like, what, he's going to great. Yeah, but it never really amounted to anything. Like, he didn't score the most points. He didn't grab the most rebounds. Like, he won a championship, but it was in a bubble. Like, and for me, I still need a little bit of time with Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Kevin Durant?
Lock.
Draymond Green?
No. But I'm saying, is Robert Horry in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Same, just like you was just like a great role player for the team. Like, there's no denying how great of a defender, organizer, team. There's no, but I keep saying, like, there has to be a sacred space for what the Hall of Fame is. Like,
he's a Warriors Hall of Famer for sure.
For 100%. But basketball Hall of Fame, I can't do it.
James Harden.
You didn't tell me why. Because you can do a step back. Like, I mean, I'm just saying. Like, I don't know.
Oh, God. Oh, I would hate that induction. Dwight Howard.
Like, Dwight Howard, like, was revolutionary.
Yeah.
With the center position and what he did. So I would say Dwight Howard, yes.
Yes. LeBron. Of course.
He's one of the top two player to ever play the game.
Yeah, that one's pretty easy. Jokic.
I think Jokic is knocking on. Yeah, I think. I mean, how can you be? I mean, arguably a three-time MVP. You get to where you got to with that organization.
Champion MVP.
Yeah, they win. You're a champ. Yeah,
it's not like he's just gonna fall off the face of the earth.
No, and he has. This is a level of sustained play for him.
Kawhi Leonard.
Again, I guess you can't dispel what he did in San Antonio, what he did in Toronto. He's become a part-time NBA player.
Yeah.
But you can't take away what his legacy is. And so I guess at that time, he's one of those guys that when they do the voting, it's like you need however many people to vote for you or whatever percentage, whatever it is that say you get in. I would say that he was one of those people that got in. His percentage was high. It was higher than just getting over, but it wasn't enormous.
Yeah, yeah. Damian Lillard.
Same thing. Hmm. Same. I don't even know if it does get in. I mean, I just say, like, the Hall of Fame should be so special, man. Like, just not that you was, like, you were just a really, he, like, he's an excellent player. Like, he's phenomenal.
Great player, yeah. But it's not the Hall of Real Good.
That, right. Like, it's not the Hall of, you were excellent, Hall of Excellence. No, it's like the Hall of Fame, bro. Like, the best ever. Like, it was, I think that's already been watered down. You know, I've said this to you for the longest. It's just a watered down thing. It's almost become a popularity contest.
Oh, yeah. In this one, he is a lock. Chris Paul.
I mean, he's a freaking consummate pro, bro. Like,
epitomizes the position. You just can't stay healthy.
And see, again, when you start playing for so long, people forget what you did. When he's in New Orleans, he's the best point guard in the NBA when he's playing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the jumping around started to happen, and here we are. But even, you remember those battles we had with them? When he was with the Clippers, he was still one of the best on the floor. So I think he'll get in. And I'm biased towards point guards. I'll say it. Hey, it's my podcast, so what? I'm biased towards point guards.
Klay Thompson.
I think Klay Thompson is a glorified Draymond Green.
Mm.
I think the team and situation made him what it is, but I think the team and situation is also what makes you second guess how good he is. I know we saw the Game 6 Klays, he's a good shooter, I think. He's a really good shooter.
And Russell Westbrook.
Lock. Fucking dude had triple doubles. It's like it was nothing, man. Like,
just for a season.
But yeah, like it was like he's in. Now it may not be super duper locked like some of the other guys. It may be like a Kawhi Leonard in.
Right.
But I think he's in.
Alright. Well, there you go. That was their list of locks. And I'd say who else? Is there anyone else? But I can't really think of any. I mean, that's hard. I'd have to really hurt my brain right now.
Yeah, that's not up for that.
No. Thanks for dinner. Appreciate it.
How about that? We got the grill. Bust out the grill.
It was great. Great burgers. Amazing burgers. Wonderful burgers.
And then we had some halfway burnt fries because you got here. We got to talking and I forgot
the fries. We forgot the fries. But they were good. I love a good burnt fry.
They were good.
And then we watched the TV on the floor.
How about this?
Because you had a TV fall out of the wall.
Out of the wall. Not just like literally.
Shouldn't laugh. But been there.
The wall is separated. Sheetrock is out.
And
luckily I was here and fell asleep on the couch and heard it falling down. Heard it falling. Went to grab the gun though. I thought somebody was breaking in. Then it turned it. Turned and looked and was like, oh, shucks, the TV is falling.
TV's coming at you.
So I had to try to hold it. And, you know, it's evident only certain people like myself and Dipti have the superhuman strength to be able to hold huge TVs up while waiting. She had to wait for someone to finally get there. I had to try to unscrew, hold up, and then it was an adventure. So, yeah, I got to.
Yeah, Dipti being my wife, who, along with me, have our children.
Yes.
Our two kids.
No, your kids. So yeah, so now I got a nice big screen on the floor.
Yeah,
it's a floor model. I've gone back to floor model big screens. Remember those?
Yeah, that's right. Too bad it doesn't roll. You can't roll it around the living room.
No, and it's propped up on my dog bed. So just to keep it off of the floor and keep it safe.
Yeah, it works. It works.
Hey, listen, I grew up in I'm not gonna say the hood. I grew up in the inner city. You learn how to just make things work.
Mm-hmm.
So when it fell down. Dana was like, well, I guess you can't watch TV. I was like, well, the TV works. I can still hook the plugs in.
Yeah.
This is going to be on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? As I told you, I walked in the house. I didn't even notice the wall, which is just torn to shreds. I saw the TV on the floor and was like, oh, that's interesting. I just kept on walking
Nothing
out.
Nothing about the wall mount that's sitting on top of the mantle.
Didn't even
notice.
On top of
the fireplace.
No, didn't even notice. Noticed the TV, though. Thought it was interesting. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Night Court. We will do it again real soon. And, yeah, we're getting close, man. You know why I know we're getting close? Because my vacation just ended, which means football's about to start.
Yep.
And then when football starts, that means basketball's right around the corner.
Preseason will be here before we know it.
I know, dude. It's August already. So, October, right?
I'm ready.
Beginning of October, I guess. Preseason basketball. Yeah. All right. Well, we're ready for it. Thank you for tuning in and joining us. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at TheFishNation. Brevin is at BrevinKnight22. The show is at KnightCourt22. And on the threads, I'm at TheFishNation_. Brevin is at Cardinal22.
No, I'm not. Go Cardinal.
Go, damn. I'm sorry. Brevin is at Go Cardinal 22. Go Cardinal 22. That would also be his handle on the Instagram as well. So that's on Threads, because Brevin's on Threads
I'm
now.
On and so I got to go on X and tell the people on X that I'm on Threads.
That's
I'll figure out how to do that.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. We'll be back with you again here real soon for BK. I'm Fish. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon here on Night Court.
Peace.